Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Hey, Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show!
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 341, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined, as always, by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in Florida. How are you doing today, Michael?
Fabulous, Mr. Klinsman.
And those of you watching us on YouTube, you could see we are joined by our guests. Also in the Northeast, we have Dan and Mary from the Everything is Satisfactual podcast. Did I say that right?
Yes. That's right.
Nailed it. Everything is Satisfactual podcast. Go find them. We'll let you guys plug all your stuff at the end. You got to put in a little work before you get all the plugs. So.
For sure.
How's everybody doing today?
Good. We're so excited. Ooh.
We're super excited. I feel like I'm like in the presence of greatness.
Well, that you are.
There's a lot of truth to that.
There is a lot of truth to that. Now, Mike, how's the, we always start off talking about weather. You've been getting hammered with rain. What's going on down there?
Tons of rain.
Now we up here, we have, it's like hazy from the smoke from the wildfires.
It's not really.
Today, yeah, it was super like cloudy and like it was just like a haze in the sky, and they said it's like the smoke from the California wildfires.
That's insane.
They said it's reached Europe.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
I don't know how they measure that. Like, did they just see smoke in Europe and they're like, mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a new pope and they just assumed it was the wildfire.
Someone just burned their pasta. Yeah. And they're like, oh gosh.
Like rigaton. Okay. Sorry, we're taking over
that's
your
okay.
podcast.
No, it's okay. We're going to start talking golf shortly, and you guys will be all clear.
Oh, God, Rick.
We'll just shut their mics shut off. Up and talk golf.
We'll skip over the golf, excepting to say that I'm very excited about the U.S. Open that will be just about over by the time this podcast comes out. But
I thought that was tennis.
It's both. Tennis just ended, the U.S. Open, but the golf U.S. Open starts tomorrow, Thursday, at also on Long Island. So
now Dan and I should know about golf because we're both from golf families.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not.
No.
Well, I can
throw out some buzzwords like bogey, eagle, Arnold Palmer.
How about pods?
Yeah. Pards.
Pods.
What about
I only know that from you.
Isn't a turkey something or no?
That's bowling.
That's three strikes in a row in bowling.
You turkey.
And then tennis is love.
That's correct. True.
That's all I know.
Anyway.
Who do you like in the U.S. Open, Mike? We got to get it on record.
Yeah, I got to go with DJ.
DJ, he's just playing better than everybody.
Right now? Yeah,
and he plays good in U.S. Opens.
Yeah, he does.
He does. But Mary, your thoughts?
I agree.
Okay.
Are we talking about Vijay Singh?
No, good reference, though. No, DJ is Dustin Johnson, the current number one player in the world.
Oh, Dustin.
VJ's golf? Been out for a while.
Yeah, Vijay. Yeah.
Are you talking about golf?
We are talking about golf.
Let me tell you the era that the last time I ever watched golf.
Is it when Vijay Singh was playing?
Vijay Singh.
That was about 20 years ago.
Yeah. Tiger.
He's still.
Phil Mickelson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's still around. He's playing.
And then Rory McIlroy with still, orange pants.
He's good.
You're
getting Rory McIlroy and
Ricky Fowler.
Could
yeah.
Be.
Yes.
All these names sound familiar to me. From just having golf on.
Yeah. And you know peripheral. I didn't Google it because my hands are here, so this is legit knowledge.
We trusted that you did not Google that. So yeah. whenever we have guests on, we like to talk a little bit about where their love of Disney started. So the first part, we usually just go back and forth talking about golf and stupidity. So this week, because you guys are new to many of our listeners. Amiri's been on a few times. Dan, this is your first time on. We'll have you introduce yourselves to our listeners. So why don't we start with Dan? So talk about a little bit about yourself. Tell us where your love of Disney started, you know, your favorite hotel to stay. I think just kind of general Disney stuff. So go ahead.
Cool. I'm Dan or Daniel. I am a speech pathologist. So I work with people with voice problems. I am a fellow theater geek like Mary. So that's how I kind of got into my career path, because I was like, I want to help people who have a voice issue. Theater was kind of tied into my whole Disney love, but like kind of later. So I guess what got me to be a Disney weirdo was I went all the time as a kid. We went nonstop growing up. I think we went like 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 2000, 2001, 2002. And then we just kind of like took a big hiatus. And my face is on the Leave a Legacy wall at Epcot,
which got taken down.
Yeah, it was.
They preserved it though, didn't they?
Yeah,
they just
it's not there. They like anymore. Moved it to the back of the parking lot where like you park if it's like.
Yeah, yours was way out, because I remember we had trouble finding it, but we did find it. But it was out there. In the parking lot.
You actually went in the parking lot? Wow.
No, remember we were. No, one night you had, you showed us where it was, because I think you asked somebody.
Oh, you mean in the
before they moved it? Yeah,
right.
Yeah, before they moved it. But yes, I my favorite. Want to know my favorite? What?
Everything. Hotel, park, ride.
I'm obsessed with Epcot. That's my thing. Epcot's my favorite park. Epcot, obviously, and well, not obviously, but Magic Kingdom as well. But I'd say Epcot, like if I had to just pick one, I'm going to say Epcot for so many reasons. I would say that my favorite hotel is Wilderness Lodge.
Good choice.
Mary Whisper. Oh, people can see. I forget. Yeah. Because I stayed there when I was a kid and I ruined their pool. Did you know this, Gary?
No, is this a poop story?
No, this is a fantastic. This is a great story. I've heard this.
I was going to say they don't listen to our podcast, so they don't know this.
There was because you guys early on did like a top list of places you want to stay at and stuff. Yep,
that's right. That's right.
I listened to like the first four episodes, and then I haven't caught up after.
Like
that.
I got enough of these goobers.
Yeah.
Sorry. So go ahead, Dan.
Oh, you want to hear the story?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Of
well, I was young. It was probably like 97 or 98, and swimming in the pool, and I had chronic nosebleeds as a kid.
Oh, no.
And I looked down, and I go, oh, my gosh. Blood gushing down my face. I grab my bathing suit. I ask my mom for a towel. They all see all the blood everywhere, so they run over with the white towels, and they're putting it to my nose, and it's still dripping down. I don't get, like... I didn't get like just like a little nosebleed. It was like profuse. So it was all in the area of the pool that was like by the little fountain thingy. So it was just like spewing my blood everywhere. And they had to evacuate the pool. And then they had to drain it. And it wasn't up for the rest of the day.
Wow. Imagine that was your one night staying at Wilderness Lodge.
I feel bad for those
sibling
kids.
Idiot punk kid.
Some 9-year-old punk weasel. You're like, is that the one over there? Yep. Get him.
I know. And I just like, I can see the bloody white towel that they gave me still. Like, that's the visual.
It's like ingrained in your memory forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, well, I ruined.
And now that's why it's your favorite place.
Correct. Well, okay, I think I want to redeem myself.
Redemption.
So I want to go back to that pool and, like, you know, swimming it without a nosebleed.
You get a little gun shy going near Disney swimming pools now. Is it like the whoa?
Yeah, traumatic
memory,
experience.
Are you okay now?
You know, I actually haven't swam in a Disney pool ever.
We never do pool days.
Yeah, every time we've gone to the resorts now, it's not pool related. So
not pool related.
It's like if you have like on your 21st birthday, you have a bad experience with tequila, you don't want to drink it anymore. Dan doesn't want to go in the pools
in the pool. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't blame you. I'm not. It's not a bad.
And vodka. You know, I can't.
Okay,
even
well,
go
see,
near
there
vodka.
You go.
Well, you don't
same,
know that, but
same thing.
Yeah.
Yes, we all know that, Dan. We all.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, have you heard of Poland Springs vodka?
No, I've heard of Poland Springs water.
Yeah, no. What's this?
Right. Yeah, I guzzled that in college. Poland Springs vodka. It was like the price of water, so you know it was really gross. And that was what we would drink. Yeah, legit Poland Springs vodka.
I've never heard of that. Yeah,
I'm not. Did you say I'm making it up?
We gotta fact check this.
Fact check it right now. It's the grossest thing you will.
We're gonna mouse keep this. Hold on.
Do you get violent when you drink the vodka? Do you like?
Mary, throw a fist or? No. I am extremely lovey and stupid. So like, not much is different.
So no change.
So no change, except more lovey.
Fair.
I'm getting lots of things here. Hold on.
All right.
Keep talking. Mary, why don't you talk about some of your
your
favorite Disney.
Well, things. For any of your listeners who are old school and remember the Por Favor podcast, you might have heard other episodes that I've appeared on. And you might have heard me talked about in this podcast. I'm Gary's sister. So Cousin Mike is also my Cousin Mike. So Disney runs in the family, as you can tell. Oh, look at it.
It does exist, by the way.
That's it. That's it. I told you.
Poland Spring vodka.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so funny.
I'll take
Dan's
going to
throw up just looking at it.
I'm, like, legit sick.
It's like the Orange Julius. I had one when they were building. When they were building the Toys R Us at the Rhode Island Mall, I had an Orange Julius, and that was it. I can't even walk by that store without
That's
it
the
triggering.
Oldest sentence ever uttered on this show, because none of those things exist anymore. The Rhode Island Mall
you
doesn't
don't have
exist.
To worry
the
about
Toys
it.
R Us doesn't exist. Orange Julius. Anyway, sorry, Mary. Go ahead. Yes, you've been on the show many times back in its old iterations.
Yeah, I haven't technically been on WDW Beyond the Gates, but I've
not many people
on...
have, because we didn't have That's the technology true. For a while until...
Right.
Until recently.
This is real fancy.
Yeah, I like this. You got to keep this in mind, Daniel.
I know, right?
Anyway, but I feel like I kind of have an opposite Disney journey of Dan. We didn't go a lot when I was growing up, and we kind of all got into it more.
Well, we
as
never
adults.
Went as an entire family until we were all adults.
Right.
You guys so went with mom a couple times, and then the four of us went.
Our first trip was mom, and then you, me, and Catherine. And
well, because Catherine
like
and mom went once by themselves, right? Because won like the radio contest.
But I think that was just Universal.
Oh, was it? I thought they
anyway. Were. But it doesn't matter. Yeah, we went a handful of times before I was an adult. But yeah, like Gary said, we didn't go as a whole family until we were all adults. But then we all kind of got bit by the bug. I always watched the movies and enjoyed Disney growing up, but I just didn't have the park experience. But and then I lived in Orlando for a couple of years. So I've spent a lot of times hanging out with Cousin Mike in the parks, just like walking around, eating food, listening to mulch, all that kind of good stuff. I heard you talk about that on the last episode.
That was your favorite Airbnb up there, wasn't it? Mary's apartment, when you could just like show up unannounced.
That was fantastic.
It was good.
Yeah, so my apartment complex was legitimately not 2 minutes away from a park, but
to get back to golf, it was about an 8-iron from property.
You legitimately could have rode your bikes to the Magic Kingdom if you wanted to.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I was back by where there were like warehouses and laundry services and stuff, but it was literally two turns outside of my apartment complex, and I was on Disney property. So I had my annual pass, and I went all the time. Yeah, I was there for the last year of the Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Lights. I was there to watch my former favorite park, Disney's Hollywood Studios, deteriorate before my eyes. Yeah. So I'm in a little bit of a limbo with my favorite park. I honestly don't know if I ever thought I would say this, but I think Epcot's my favorite park too.
It's the best one.
Now, why did you think you would never say that? Because you just loved Hollywood Studios so much?
I loved it so much. And I think when I was younger and didn't have as many fun experiences there, I didn't think it was as much fun, because in my head, it's not as magical as the other parks. But there's just so much fun stuff to do. And you make those memories. And I've heard you guys talk about this a lot on the show. Like, for me now, the stuff that I love about Disney are all the places where I have the best memories.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like this ride is the most fun ride. It's the fastest. It's this, it's that. It's based on my favorite movie, whatever. It's like when we did our big family trip and like six of us took up a whole
the back of car, the
car. Yeah. Or the whole train on Space Mountain. And it was you, me, Catherine, Cousin Mike, and Kristen, just us five. Oh,
doing stupid faces for the camera and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Like I have those memories, which make me be like, oh, this ride is the best. And I remember when I went on with this person. So I have a lot of great memories at Epcot. I think Dan's huge love of Epcot has rubbed off on me a lot. How excited he gets when he goes there makes me more excited about it. And yeah, it's just,
and you like the pop, the maple popcorn in Canada.
Well, yeah, and the buffalo popcorn.
The buffalo. Oh, and the sour cream and chives.
Wait,
whatever.
Just let's leave it at she likes popcorn. We'll just
sorry, correct. Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so I know this is getting long into your intro, and you're probably itching to tell us about your beer sponsor.
Yeah, I do need to talk about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week, and Mike will not like this because this means fall is coming. Flannel Friday by Harpoon. Ooh. This is actually our last episode of summer, officially, right?
The 20...
Yeah, but... So this is by Harpoon out of, I think they're Vermont and Boston. They have both, but this is... The sun is bright, but the air is crisp. It's time to layer up and crack a beer. Fall is here in New England. Oh, Flannel Friday, 5.7% alcohol by volume. It's a hoppy amber ale. It even has like the flannel argyle kind of label on there.
Very nice.
You don't like fall, Cousin Mike?
One no sip, way. Everybody knows the rules. This one's not bad. It's a little hoppier than I normally like. I like ambers, but this one's a little hoppy.
Interesting. Why don't you like fall?
One sip, everybody knows the rules.
Dan's just ignoring your official beer sponsor.
I'm going to give it a 5.8. Yeah, you can go ahead, Josh. It's a 5.8 for the Flannel Friday. Why don't you like the fall?
Because I absolutely despise winter, and fall was the prelude to winter. So the first scent of smelling a fireplace chimney just
like
drove
me
the
like,
wrong way.
Yeah, I hear you.
But then, so then do you love spring because it makes you think summer's coming?
Yeah, like I like spring
except for
second
the allergies.
Best, but I like summer.
Right.
Yeah. I like summer the best. So like
Dan,
I want
you
12
know that
months of summer.
Cousin Mike used to live in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
So like 18 feet of snow. Like
Yep.
He's not about it.
That's terrible.
I never hated it until I moved there. I didn't mind it when I lived in Rhode Island. You don't mind it when you're younger. As you get older, you're a young pup.
Yeah.
Give it about 15, 20 years, you're going to stop being miserable like Gary.
Oh, I don't like the winter now. Last winter, I had the worst arthritis. I'm like, how old am I?
It wasn't even cold last winter. You're going to be in trouble if we have a cold winter this year.
Well, it has to do more with apparently with like the pressure for people with arthritis. But I shouldn't have arthritis. I'm not even 30 yet.
That's your point.
Probably not. Well, let's take a little break because we have a lot to get into during the meat of the episode.
Yes.
So we will be right back. All right, we are back from break. This is episode number 341 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. We're joined by Dan and Mary from the Everything is Satisfactual podcast. And this week, we're going to discuss all of our top five all-time attraction songs. So this is from all of history.
Such a great topic.
And it's not easy. So I will say... I said all-time because I wanted everyone to have the full range of any... attraction songs. I made a rule for myself that I needed to experience it in person, not just hearing the music which I love some of the old music, but just for my own, because there's so many songs that I love now that I never actually experienced those attractions while those songs existed. So I didn't pick those myself, but I think somebody else on the show or this way.
Billy, this is those, this is almost like trying to pick your favorite Michael Jackson song.
Maybe for you, yeah. But I understand what you're saying. There's so many good ones, and I'm sure while I made my list, I was trying to like mentally walk myself through each park and look at all the attraction. I'm like, what's here? What's here? And I guarantee I forgot something. One of you is going to say something. I'm going to slap myself in the head and say that should have been in my list. But
I kind of did the same thing where I have songs like you played the bumper song was Universe of Energy, which I love, but I never experienced that song in that attraction. So
yeah, I wasn't on that the Ellen version that we saw.
Right.
That we
saw. So I did the same thing and I kind of tried to think about what I thought you guys would do and added songs that I just wanted to talk about, which might not authentically be my top five.
That's okay.
But are still. We'll let it slide. Yeah.
Now, did you number them from 5 to 1?
I did.
Okay, good. So since I feel you guys. Like... Oh, go ahead, Dan. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you guys have really. It sounds great. Mine are just my dead honest top five.
That's what it should be. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
And if that's what you like.
Yeah, nothing special.
And you're a music. I mean, you two are both like big into music. So that's why we wanted to talk about this with you guys on the show.
And if I think they suck, I'll give you my humble opinion.
Yeah, we want it. We want to hear it.
All right. Well, let's start off. How about Mary? You go first with your number five.
Okay. My number five, I might get a little flack from you guys. It's In the Big Blue World. From Finding Nemo the musical and also The Seas with Nemo and Friends.
I support this. World.
I do like that song. Explore.
Yeah, it but always gets stuck in my head.
It gets stuck in my head because it's the same thing. That's like I could care less about that song.
Yeah,
but every time I'm on that, it lasts for hours. Like you walk into the land and then
That's not a bad choice.
I like it, and I knew none of you guys would pick it, so I feel like it's a great song.
Do you know what I thought you were going to pick, Mary? Go with the flow.
That's so good. But
you
this
know that one?
More,
oh, it's from on, the musical? Yeah.
Yeah. This is on like in the musical and also on an attraction, so I was like, I'm going to go with this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
All right, Dan, how about your number five?
My number five is In the Tiki 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 Room. It's a great song. I love it because I experienced it as a kid, but I learned to love it as an adult. I don't know. I found the Tiki Room record at this small dinky record store in LA, and then I found out it's worth like $300 because it's so rare. Nice. And that made me like love it more. So I know that's weird.
Money.
Yeah, no. But then I actually stupid, but I went a lot when I was in LA and I just like freaking love the Tiki Room. Can I say freaking on this podcast?
Yeah, you can say. Just we'll try to keep it PG-13. So
okay, good. Then that's good. But I love
he just
it. I
think doesn't want to edit.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm the same way. I think that is my number five. I think it's a great song. It gets stuck in your head. There's a nice chorus to it that hooks you in. That's not just a chorus. There's a great verse, and then it represents happiness. So
I love it. I love the Tiki Room. I'll tell you why I didn't have it on my list, because I feel like the Tiki Room has like the whole show is so good that I couldn't just pinpoint just like the title song from Tiki Room. So I kind of and I did the same thing with Country Bears. I couldn't pick just one song from Country Bears, so I just said the heck with them and I
there are too many.
Right. So, Mike, how about you? What do you have for your number five?
My number five is Soarin'.
Oh, good choice. The original or the current?
I like the original
best. It's got to be the original.
Yeah. The original.
Can I ask, what's the difference? I don't think I know the original.
They're very similar, I think.
Yeah. Soarin' Over California as opposed to Soarin' Over the World.
Oh, whoa.
Same composer.
Sorry. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Same composer.
Well, now just has more theme. Like...
breaks and
influences
weird sound effects. Yeah.
From the different countries you're going over. It has influences from those countries' music as opposed to just the original song, which is so good.
So, when you hear those drums, like, dun, 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 you're like, I don't know at what point that is, but they happen at one point.
Right.
That's in the current one. When they're like in like Hawaii or whatever.
Yeah.
So my number five may come as a surprise to many people, but it's the whole soundtrack to Impression de France, which I think may be the most evocative soundtrack of any in Disney World. It may not be the best music, or might not be my favorite music. Obviously, it's in my top five, but just I feel like it just totally transports you. You could listen to that music anywhere, and you feel like you're in France. And I think it, or at least in Epcot's version of France, and it just takes you there. And it's just so nice, and it's like almost cheesy and old school, just like the video. But it is perfect Epcot, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Impression de France. Is that Impressions de France. Is that, where is that? I mean, is that what has now been temporarily taken over by the Beauty and the Beast sing-along?
Yeah, yes. It's like every other now. The Beauty and the Beast sing-along is a few times a day, and then the Impressions de France is a few times a day. But that soundtrack is so good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of classical music.
It is, but it just fits with the video, and it just feels so perfect.
Yeah.
I love the end when they're at the Eiffel Tower. The organ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, the whole thing. Like, that's the nice thing about that music is you can kind of like follow along the video as you listen. You could just listen to the music and remember the parts of that movie that you're at.
That's awesome.
For sure.
All right, Dan, let's keep it going. Number four for you.
My number four is Golden Dream from
American Adventure.
The American Adventure.
Yes.
Love that one.
I didn't give it much attention until recently-ish with Mary, because I know she loves it, and we had a funny experience in that show, and I learned to really appreciate that show. I think The American Adventure is so, I don't know if it's underrated, but it's amazing to me.
I think it is underrated. I think people it.
I completely agree, because I was actually thinking about The American Adventure this week. And I said, it's one of those that I don't go to all the time. But then when I go, I'm like, why don't I go to this every time I'm here? It's amazing. Isn't
it? It's so good. It's so good.
The biggest drawback to it for me is like, if you go by and there's not a show starting in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
You skip
you go by and then you don't make it back again. So it's not that, like, if it was a constant running thing and you could just walk in at any time, I would catch it at any point in the show and just stay. Like for the next one, like if you could just watch it from the middle and then just stay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree with that.
Same thing with like Hall of Presidents. But.
Right. For sure.
What's your number four, Mary?
Okay. So I was going back and forth between a couple. So I wrote down on here the Tiki Room, but I'm going to switch it to.
On the fly. We're calling an audible.
Yeah. I'm going to switch it to. I'm similar to what you said, Gary, where I can't really choose one, but I'll say the Bear Band Serenade. From Country Bear Jamboree.
Which is the opening sequence.
Right. Yes. And I think that's the one that kind of gets you into it and slapping your knee. And we did a whole episode about Country Bear Jamboree. And Dan, Jamboree. I feel like is constantly surprised about how much I genuinely love the Country Bear Jamboree. Like, I love it.
She knows everyone's name.
Teddy Barra.
Yeah.
I mean, Trixie, I learned those now. But yeah, she's like...
yeah.
Oh, this one. I'm like, one with the blue bonnet? Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And I also have a really fun memory from the first time your Gina, Mackenzie, you brought her to Disney.
Oh, that's the day you hung out with us, because you were still living down there. Yeah.
Yes. And at the Magic Kingdom, that's what they call Mackenzie on this show.
Oh.
And... I just have such a vivid memory of sitting next to you guys watching Country Bear, and she was in awe, just bouncing, and had the biggest smile on her face. And I think that's part of the reason too why it like has a little special place in my heart, because I didn't do a lot of attractions with you guys. We just kind of wandered around, and I mean, she was so little.
Yeah, she was only one at that point.
She loved it. Yeah. And so it's like just a fun memory of that as well. So that's switch out the Tiki Room with Bear Band Serenade.
Very nice.
Excellent.
Mike, what do you have for number four?
I have, Billy, staying at Epcot, World of Motion.
Oh, old school. Okay.
We're going old school. Now,
that's pre-Test Track, correct? That's where Test Track is?
That
now?
Is pre-Test okay. Track. Okay. And the attraction is so good because it's about the history of moving, about the automobile. And some of the lyrics from the song, it's just so perfect for that attraction. It's fun to be free, to be on the move. You go where you please with comfort and ease to see all there is to be seen. It's fun to be free.
That is a good song.
It's yes. a great song for that.
And that really does like represent what the advances in technology and transportation have done for people. It allows you to be free. You can fly across the country in 4 hours. It's like, you know, there's so much, you know, freedom that comes with it. So it's actually pretty genius. It's, you know, a simple song for an attraction, but, you know, the lyrics are actually pretty.
It was the lyrics are just smart. Perfect for that attraction.
Yeah.
That's
a good one. See, that's one that. That's one that I've ever heard. I've heard it and I like it. And that, I don't know if that would have made my list, but I've never was on World of Motion. Right. So I can't like say, oh, it's my favorite, you know.
Right.
So my number four is one that I had to pick something that wasn't in Epcot. So I went with Grim Grinning Ghosts from the Haunted Mansion, which is just a great song. I mean, it just defines the attraction, and that's one of my favorite attractions. So it's an original. I was thinking, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll say, you know, Zippity-Doo-Dah, but that's not an original song to that attraction. Mm-hmm. But, you know, mm-hmm. Grim Grinning Ghosts is just, it's perfect for that attraction.
Yeah, like and then crossing something off his list.
I know. I'm like, he's like, oh. Let me cross. I'm like searching Disney attraction songs quick.
I just everything about it. And I just love that it's a lot of the same voice talents that are in like Country Bear and stuff. Like Thurl Ravenscroft, who you know is the voice of Tony the Tiger, is like prominently in that. And, you know, they used a lot of the same actors and voice talent in the early days and kind of keeps a theme running through everything that's very much not there anymore in a lot of the new stuff because they just get celebrities now to do everything for them, which I guess is fine. It doesn't really matter, but there's something nice having everything kind of tied together a little bit. So that was my number four.
Such a good one.
Love it.
Number three, dear. Dan?
Number three is Grim Grinning Ghosts.
There you go. Well, what are your reasons?
I think that it, I don't know how to say this, like in a fancy way, so it's not going to be fancy. I think so much, everything about the music, its composition is creepy, but cool, but exciting, but also for kids, but also for adults. You listen to it and you're not like, this is a kid song. You listen to it and you're like, this is just really cool, right? And spooky. And I think it goes perfectly with the attraction to keep it like the lighthearted Disney feel. Like it contrasts, like, because Haunted Mansion on its own, like, yeah, is a little creepy, right?
But well, then you're absolutely right. I think because like the first half of the attraction is not scary. Really as it's scary, but the music is just kind of there, but it's not as scary. Right. But that graveyard scene without the upbeat music would be pretty terrifying, especially for young kids. But the music changes the whole tone of the end of the ride. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I completely agree. And it makes those like the popping out pneumatic busts like more funny and like woo whimsical as opposed to like terrifying. If it were the same tone as just like da na na na, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. That's why I love it. It's beautiful.
So good.
Number three, Mary?
All right. Well, my number three is Golden Dream.
Oh.
From the American Adventure.
I love that song.
I don't
want to sing it first.
Spread your golden wings. Mm. I'll let Mary do it.
Sail on freedom's wings in the sky.
Yeah.
Gray bird.
I don't know.
Yes.
Another one of those songs where you leave. It helps that they have the lyrics as you're exiting the stage. But you're just like humming it and singing it once you get off for like a solid 30 minutes at least. I'll just like, Dan can attest, like we'll just be walking around and suddenly I'll just be like, America.
Yes, correct. See,
I'm like the opposite. After I go on that, I just start doing the John F. Kennedy part. Yeah,
I was
it.
Just doing it. Was just in my head.
Angel, my fellow Americans.
Yeah. Ask not what your country could do for you.
For you.
Ask what you could do for your country.
You know what other song
you do? The astronaut.
American Adventure, which is like such a weird song. The like Civil War song.
Oh, yeah.
One more gray and one more blue.
That's so good.
So sad, that song, too.
It is. It's so sad, but every time I'm like, oh, this song. I always like forget until it gets to that point.
In there, yeah.
But it is such an underrated attraction. And I completely agree with you when it's like, you walk by and you're like, oh, it's not going for another 20 minutes, and you just keep walking, and then that's
right,
it.
You do something else, and then once you get like to Germany, you're like, oh, we're not going back, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my number three.
Mike, you're number three.
This could have either been two or three.
Okay.
But I'm going to give it – I'm going to put it at three. The old school Carousel of Progress.
Oh, the like the intermediate one?
Now is the time. Now is the best time. Now is the best time of your life. Life is a prize. Live every minute. Open your eyes and watch how you win it. I just think that that was perfect for the time, because that ride is so cool, as we always talk about. Like, that captures the moment. Yeah. Where like the new song is constantly about the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. But the new song is the original, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then they went back to the one you're talking about was like an intermediate in between.
Yep.
And then they went back to Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
Yep. But I like that version better.
Yeah. I like well.
We did part one of our Carousel of Progress episode, but I don't know if we already talked about it, but they had inserted that song because their sponsor at the time was like Sony.
GE.
And they were like, we want people to be buying the stuff that we have available for them now.
Now, yeah.
And not thinking about what's going to
the future. It's like, oh, this stuff's going to be outdated in 3 years.
It's going to be obsolete as soon as I buy it.
They legit were like, we need a new song, which I think is so crazy. That's such a good song, which I learned from your podcast, because you used to use that as your intro song.
Yeah, we did.
And I love that they play it in Tomorrowland, like that futuristic. It's like,
Yeah, very metallic.
Once you know it, you're like, oh, there it is. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be a little repetitive here, but my number three is also Golden Dream. It's fantastic. It's so good.
Gary, that's a song that you said earlier you're going to hear one and you're going to slap yourself in the face.
You're slapping yourself, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like my top five, but...
yeah.
That's a great.
It's just so good, but yeah, sometimes you just don't. It's just overlooked so much. But it's the song itself is so good. I mean, if you have any like patriotism and you walk out of that not just like walking on clouds after hearing that song, it's like it just is so. You know, you just feel good after it.
And like, yeah, and hearing the voiceovers on top of it talking about America, it's just like, we can make it work.
Beautiful. All right, we're on to we're in our top two now. So Dan, why don't you go ahead with your number two?
Well, I'm feeling a little targeted because my number two apparently isn't an attraction song.
It's whatever you want it to be.
Zippity doodah. Okay, listen, you probably wouldn't have guessed that I would say that for my number two. Maybe you would. Maybe you didn't think about it.
I thought it would be because the name of your podcast is Everything is Satisfactory. So I thought maybe it would crack your top five.
I think because it's technically not an attraction song because it wasn't written for the attraction. Movie. But who knows it from the movie? Everyone knows it from the attraction.
I do.
But the first time you heard it was probably on Splash Mountain.
Right.
I mean, maybe not, but you know, it's become an attraction song. I feel like, even though it wasn't written for the attraction.
No, I think it's a great song and it's perfect for the attraction, but I just, in my own personal list, I didn't do those.
Yeah. Include it. Yeah. I think because the attraction, when it started, like that was its song. My brain was like, oh, it's an, you know, but it is so, like, to me, that's Disney. And it's no longer Disney, though.
Not for long. You better get down there soon.
I know. Like, that's what I used to sing, like, as a kid. Like, that's what I went to, you know? Uh-huh. So.
Yeah.
Whatever. But there's something about, like, just that whole attraction. You come off the big, like, thrill. You come down, and then you go around the corner, and it's just this celebration with this cheerful song. And it's like, okay, again, it's just like it frames the attraction perfectly.
It really does.
And it's so cool that you go off that big drop and then you're like, oh, it's not over?
It's not over. Exactly. The best part of the whole park is hearing that while there are those chickens on the boat going like, ah, yeah! And they're like riffing and they're like, all have their like tambourines and they're like, are you kidding me? That's where I want to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're geese. Some of them are chickens. No, some of them are chickens. And geese.
Okay.
There's chickens and geese. Fun story. They took some of those geese from the America Sings attraction that took over where Carousel of Progress was in Disneyland.
Hmm.
Not America Sings. Yes, America Sings. Yes.
Yeah, because that's where the three caballeros are now in the Mexico ride. We're in the America Sings as well, I believe.
I didn't know that.
Those animatronics that are in the Mexico ride.
I didn't know that. Thank you, Gary.
Mary, number two.
All right, my number two is the Fantasmic finale.
Dun, that dun, counts? Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to... It's all right. It's okay. You can pick it. It's a good song. It is good, though.
If so, Mary, that's my number two as well.
Dream and you will find in your imagination. That moment watching the finale of Fantasmic, every time I watch it, I feel like I'm 4 years old seeing Mickey Mouse for the very first time. When he appears at the top of that mountain and you're just like, oh my God, Mickey. Like every time I get that same feeling, and it's just, I love it so much. And that music just makes me so happy.
And you hear the like pixie dust as he like, after he appears, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
What's so.
Some imagination, huh? I love it. Exactly.
It's so good. So,
Maria, I have some memories seeing that line,
but yeah, we make a point to do it usually when we have a trip.
Yeah. So good.
It might be right on the line of whether or not you consider an attraction.
It's whatever you want it to be. It's whatever. You know how hard it was for me not to pick the Epcot entrance loop as my number one? I think that might have been cheating, but yeah.
We listened to that the other night as background music, Gary. I'm sure you did that too.
Oh, yeah. Mike, number two for you?
Living with the Land.
Oh, it's such a great one.
Well, listen to the Land, the original attraction.
Tiny little seed.
I don't know it.
Tiny little seed is reaching up to meet your needs.
Let's listen to the land we all know. Nature's plan will shine above. Listen to the land. Listen to the land. Ding, 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 ding.
I thought you were singing that song that's like, you gotta know when to hold them.
Basically, yeah. Know when to hold them.
It's like, that was in Disney?
You're like, that's not, I don't think that counts.
It's so good, though. We talked about, that's kind of why we came up with this topic. Kind of on the fly, we were talking about how good that song is and how it's a sneaky top five song. So obviously, it made your top five.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame you. Again, that's one that did not make my list because I never experienced it on the attraction. Mm. I've only experienced it, you know, listening to it on CDs, if kids out there know what those are, or MP3s, if you will. Another one, another vote for me for my number two is Soarin' Over California. I love the Soarin' soundtrack.
Checking in at number two, Billy.
Yeah. And your top two, Casey Kasem's top 10 countdown, number two, Soarin'. No, I love the Soarin' soundtrack. Like, I could listen to that on a loop and just be relaxed. The old video, everything. It's so good.
I saw this thing one time online. Some guy went as Soarin' for Halloween. So he just, like, had the Soarin' soundtrack playing on his phone. He just put a thing on his shirt that said Soarin', and he just, like, sprayed Orange Glade.
People. Yeah.
That's great. Pretty good. Doesn't it just make you literally feel like you're like flying though? That like nondescript like orchestral sound just makes you feel you're like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, they just know how to do it.
And we've talked about it before and saying like, if you could pick like one ride to just be relaxed on, it's that with that soundtrack and the feeling of just like soaring, mm-hmm. I guess maybe that's why they call it that. just right. so perfect, everything about it.
Well, if you could be a billionaire and just build that thing in your backyard,
in your backyard, wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
That's one of those songs, like when you hear it, you can just picture everything that happens.
And it's just like a little cooler in there because it's dark and like you get the like wind in your face when you first go up and you hear it. And the song is just like starts up nice and slow. And you finally look over the mount. Da-da-da.
Yeah.
Oh, stop. You're giving me chills, Gary.
It's dramatic. I do have that effect on people. Yeah.
I want to go.
All right, are we ready for our number ones? Everyone ready?
I think so.
All right, go ahead, Dan, lead us off.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. That's my favorite of all time.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's
just a dream. Away.
Yes,
it's just. I can't, I really don't know how to explain my love for Carousel of Progress. It's everything I like about Disney. It's gives you that nostalgic feel. The thing I love about Disney is you just feel like it's all about time and progressing and moving forward. And that's the whole thing. And I love that it's on a perpetual loop because it's never ending. We're always like cycling back, but then thinking to the future. And I know that's corny, but it's the most beautiful song. I love that as you're rotating through the different times, they take the music from that time.
Yeah, they change it a little bit for each one. Yeah.
When it gets to the 40s and the girls are like, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow. I'm like, yeah. It gives me all the feels, as the young ones say. Yes,
definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love that.
Well, that's also my number one. I did say at the beginning of this that this might not be a true top five because I tried to do songs that I thought other people might not say, but that had to be my number one. I think the greatest attraction song of all time. Anything the Sherman Brothers writes turns to gold, I think, but it's just so good. And like you said, Dan and I, kind of the foundation of our podcast was like talking about that nostalgic Disney feel because we're big, like we like to go like thrift shopping and we're big like antique and like nostalgia nerds. So that attraction just brings all that together for us. And also being like music people, like when you transition from one room to the next and you hear the old music playing from this side and then you're going into the new century or decade or whatever. Like it's just, it's so great. And
and you talk about like the nostalgia of it, like even just going in, like the theater has that like lived in smell. It doesn't, it's not that it smells good, but it's so distinct to that. You're like, they haven't cleaned the carpets in here. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily make that your next candle smell, Dan, but it might be a potential.
I have it in the works now.
Yeah.
look what I have. This is an original ad for the Carousel of Progress that I have framed.
Oh, from the World's Fair?
World's Fair. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
Isn't that cool? It's like creased in the middle. Oh, I'm too. So nice. I'm obsessed. I just love it.
I even like the sound of the stage moving.
Yeah, you hear like the gears and everything. Uh-huh. And all, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so good. It's perfect.
And that's my number one.
Mike, what's your number one?
Universe of Energy, baby.
That's a great song.
That's a great song.
Now, did you love the attraction?
Yes.
As a kid? Yeah. Just. And they changed it a lot when they did like the Ellen stuff, but it was at the core, it was the same. It's about like how you create energy.
Like, yeah, but it had lots of animatronics. It wasn't.
Yeah. They changed it enough
on a screen like the Ellen's attraction.
But that song is so good.
It's a fantastic song.
It's just a great song. Yeah. I mean, we talked about, you heard it a little bit at the first break, and that's another one that I know the song, but I never experienced that version of that attraction. So
yeah,
much as I like the old school Epcot things, like Mary, you and Dan, it seems like, and I don't know if it's like, if we're technically in the same generation, the three of us, I know Mike's ahead of me.
Thank you.
How old are you, Gary?
37.
We're in the same. Yeah. We're just at the end.
Like you're right on the cusp.
Yeah, I'm like a cusp.
I feel like Dan's kind of towards the other cusp.
Yeah, but technically I'm a millennial, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think the millennial generation likes, I don't know if there's a term for it, But like I call it like stolen valor nostalgia. It's like nostalgia for things we never experienced.
Dan and I talk about that all the time.
I don't know where it comes from, but it's
what the hell?
It's very
sorry.
No, can I say you could say hell. It's fine. It's an odd thing that I think happens a lot. Is like you want to experience something that you missed out on just by a little bit, like the 80s version of Epcot that I missed out on. It's like I have nostalgia for something that I never experienced.
We were literally just talking about how we went to this shopping center near where Dan lives, and he was talking about how, because there's this like abandoned motel near one of the stores we went to, and I was like, why is there like a hotel even here? And he was like, in the 90s, this was legitimately a destination. And we were legitimately talking about how wouldn't it be cool to go back in time just to see like a mall in the 90s at the peak of mall culture.
Wasn't that
and cool. I was around in the 90s, but
I was at, but like, to go back now,
and get in as I am now, like, would just be so cool.
I don't know. Is that a thing? Do you think it's a generational thing, Mike? You being in the older generation, then, like, do you have nostalgia for things you didn't experience, or you just have nostalgia for the stuff that you did experience?
Yeah, the latter.
Yeah. Wow. So maybe it is just our generation is just maybe because we're in between. So like we're on the birth of like the internet. It was our generation, and like you were, you know, you're 10 years older than me, so you came of age like before the internet, and then you were there for it, obviously, at the beginning of it, but you were already, you know, in high school or college when internet really got big.
Right.
And then, you know, we kind of got birthed on it. I don't know. It's a weird way. I don't know how to describe it. It seems very unique to our generation, that like, I feel stolen valor nostalgia.
I feel like we saw... I mean, again, I'm on the tail end for sure, but like seeing what things were like without all the technology, I mean, there's something legitimately like psychological about having a tangible thing and experiencing things right in front of you versus then experiencing through like another medium that's a screen. Yeah. And I feel like we're probably then our brains were like hooked on this technology in some sense. And it was really exciting for a while. And that's worn off. And we're like, whoa, we really did experience this thing pre-technology that later generations didn't. So we want to go back to that, but also then like times before where it wasn't even in sight, maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All that to say that I also picked Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow for my number one. So
listen, I thought that was going to be everybody's number one, to be honest with you.
Mike threw a little bit of a curveball going with the old school version of it, which I like, which was a great song.
Mixed it up. Yeah. We didn't even discuss this. I mean,
no. I was tempted to try to get lists from everybody ahead of time so we could have different stuff, but that wouldn't be authentic. And that's
right.
It actually worked out really well.
Yeah, for the most part, there wasn't a lot of overlap, a couple here and there, but
yeah,
for the most part, it was pretty good. Well, that being said, we all got our top fives. I have a couple honorable mentions, which we could talk about, but I want to take our second break. We'll come back and wrap everything up with some honorable mentions, and we'll talk about our social medias and everything.
Perfect.
So just stick around. We'll be right back.
Just make believe. Tiny little seed, a tiny little seed that's reaching up to meet your need with the right amount of faith and the right amount of earth. You'll grow to see the sunshine on your day of birth. Let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land, listen to the land. Let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land, listen to the land. When springtime comes, how can you tell? The air is always filled with orange blossom smell. Come summertime, the warmest sunshine, and the world is full of flowers and good melon rinds. Let's listen to the land.
All right. We're back for break. You just got through listening to episode number 341 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. We're joined by Dan and Mary from the Everything is Satisfactual podcast, talking about our top five all-time attraction songs. And I think we covered them pretty well. We had the old school, we had the new, we had Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Nothing from... Well, you had Fantasmic, so we had Hollywood Studios covered.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think, I'm like, Tower of Terror, I love everything about it, but the soundtrack's not that great. You just get the yeah. which is just from the TV right. show.
Right.
Right.
And like, nothing else there. Even the great movie ride didn't have a soundtrack. It was narrated live.
That's great. Which is fantastic. Which, again, is not written for that ride. So
they did change the words to like Donald Duck at one point, right? In the beginning.
I think that's in the original song. Go on and try your luck. You might be Donald Duck.
Are you serious?
I think so. I could be wrong.
I bet you're right.
Anyway, we digress. Did anyone else come up with a couple honorable mentions? All right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and you could just spout them off in no particular order.
Well, I don't know if this is anyone's. Well, I'll just say mine. So I don't know if these count too, because you told me Fantasmic kind of doesn't count, but We Go On got made my honorable mentions list. And I also have very specific memories of watching Illuminations with Cousin Mike, and he used to drum on my shoulders and kazoo in my ear. Yep. Throughout the whole thing. But We Go On is it's such a good song.
It is very good. And that was around for a long time, that show. Yeah. You know, that was their longest nighttime show that like time wise, I believe.
Yeah. So that's one of mine.
Yeah. The only one that I came up with my honorable mention that is one that I like, the other ones on my honorable mention are ones that I love that I didn't experience, but the song from the Canada movie.
Canada, Canada, Canada.
I just love when they sing in the French, and I'm just trying to like sing along. In the it's so good. And the only reason I didn't pick it is because I didn't want to have everyone be like the movies from the Epcot Showcase Pavilion.
My list for a little while. You should. I mean, you guys can watch us. So good. YouTube, but all of our faces lit up when Gary said that. We were all like,
"Because that's what." If you were going to go to me, that's where I was going to go. That's the one.
It's so good. I don't know if I hope they kept it in the new version.
They did. Ken and I saw the new version.
They did.
Oh, okay.
With Eugene Levy.
Oh, geez.
And Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, nice.
I and love Catherine O'Hara.
I think you guys would like it. Even though it's new, it's very...
Not that, I mean, the Martin Short one wasn't anything like
right.
to write home about. I just love the song.
But as far as I remember, that song there. Is
that
still
song's still good.
It might be
it is there. Recorded. It is there. It's there. I think it... I don't know, but after we left, Mary and I were like, America... I mean, Canada. Like,
yeah. So good.
I have two honorable mentions, okay. but I don't think one of them counts. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. That counts. Obviously.
That definitely counts. Right. Yeah.
I was gonna say before I did mine that I was surprised no one picked pirate.
I think it's obviously sets the scene like perfect, and when you just hear even like a macaw or like a parrot going like I just I'm like oh give me that pirate water, and then the other one. Doo-doo-doo-doo. I can't sing it because it's like not. It's like there's no words.
That is called Baroque Hoedown, by the way. That's the name of that song.
Is that right?
Baroque Hoedown.
It does sound like you take like a really fancy group of people in the Baroque era and made them dance.
I feel like all of my honorable mentions were like nighttime shows because I also used to love celebrate a world filled with magic, wish upon a star that shines so bright. Who remembers celebrate the magic?
I don't either.
Nobody. They used to do the projection show before Wishes, and it was called Celebrate the Magic, and the song was so fun. Yeah. I loved it. But so that
a couple of my other do you have any mic? I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep interrupting.
No, you guys you guys took mine.
So another one that would have definitely made my list, but I don't think I ever went on the original Imagination, but the original Journey into Imagination song with the Dreamfinder. Not the new like Eric Idle version, but
the Dreamfinder song is essentially the same.
It is, but it's not.
Still like da na na na.
The tune is the same.
Yeah.
And then a couple from the land, the veggie fruit, veggie fruit,
veggie fruit, veggie fruit.
And then Listen to the Land obviously made my honorable mention as well. Since you mentioned that.
That's probably honestly my first time hearing it just now in the commercial break.
Yeah.
Super nostalgic already. I love it.
Yeah, you're going to be Googling and YouTubing that as soon as we get off, I could guarantee.
Oh, it's God, yeah. I love it.
All right, well, I don't have anything else.
Cousin Mike, you didn't do an honorable mention of Captain EO.
Oh, didn't think
I mean, all the songs on that would have been on my top five.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't even think of it. That we are here to save the world. Yeah.
That's a great song, too.
I had to mention that because I know you love that.
Although, if we played a Michael Jackson song during the show, we'd probably have to pay like $5,000 to his estate or something.
Some type of royalty?
Yeah, some type of royalties.
Legit. Blanket.
But why don't Mary and Dan, why don't you talk about where people can find you on social media and your podcast and everything?
Well, you can find us. We're pretty much only active on Instagram, so you can find us at Satisfactual Podcast.
Don't forget to swipe up.
Don't forget to swipe up. We're not you there yet. You only need
10,000 What does that mean?
It means is that right?
Yeah, so when you do an Instagram story, you know, like on the top, you can click the stories of people.
Yeah, 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 okay.
And then, like, if it says swipe up, it, like, goes to a different webpage, but you can only do a swipe up if you have 10,000 followers.
All right, yeah. So all of your followers need to follow us. We'll follow you back. That'll get us to 10,000 in one night.
Oh, yeah, 10,000.
About that, yeah.
But, yeah, I started a Twitter, and I think I've tweeted 3 times. I'm not a Twitter person anymore. So if you want to follow us, if you liked listening to our foolishness, the best place is Instagram at Satisfactual Podcast.
Yeah.
And then subscribe on what?
Oh, yes.
Apple Anywhere. Podcasts and all Apple those Podcasts, places.
Stitcher,
Google Podcasts, Spotify. The whole shebang.
I don't think we're on Spotify. I don't know how to get on Spotify. That's how.
Oh, it's so easy. You just go to Spotify.com.
Submit
and like,
your RSS feed. Okay, I'm going to do that because I switched over to listening on Spotify and you can't even listen to my own on there.
Because we want to be on iHeart too, because I heard iHeart's like.
Oh, we're not on there.
The leaders for podcasts now.
I didn't know that.
I got an email today from Amazon that they're streaming podcasts now.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that as well.
Anyway,
anything else you want to promote or plug? Now's your chance. You can talk about your candles, Dan.
Oh, give God. A shot. Wow. Want, well, yeah. So I, on the side for fun, it's really just for fun. I have been selling Disney inspired candle scents and, all natural, clean burning oils with 100% soy wax. And I'm trying to just emulate some really nice smells that you get when you go to the parks. And I'm not in it to have this crazy big business. So like, I'm really, really constantly like testing scents to make sure it's like actually something that someone would enjoy. Because I think a lot of candle companies that you see out there just like try to churn out scents. And then I've smelled some and I'm like, oh, that doesn't smell like it. But I still like it, you know.
And that's anyways, Mr. Holiday Candle Company, because you haven't said that yet.
Oh yeah, it's called Mr. Holiday Candle Company
on Etsy, right?
Etsy, yeah.
Etsy and search. Check for it Mr. out. Holiday.
I'm a what little bit on like.
You have right now.
What'd you say?
What type of scents do you have?
So it's funny. I was just about to say I'm a little bit on like a little short hiatus before I release things for the fall. Because summer has ended and no one's buying any summer scents anymore. But I have specifically, I have a Soren scent. So Soren Orange.
I own that. It's very good.
Yeah. And I'm like blanking on all the rest, but some other fun Disney ones.
Well,
I'm
you did a Figment out... one. I know that was like a limited release that you did.
Figment. And you did
the Tower of Terror one, right?
That one hasn't been released yet. Oh, I'm still working on it. No. It's fine. I don't care. I'll tell everyone. I'm still getting it down. I was told by my reviewers that one person said it smells like old bus seats, and I don't know if I want it to smell like that.
That's probably pretty close to what Tower. Yeah, that could be a Carousel of Progress. So that's basically what that ride smells like.
What we said. Yeah. So that's for fun. Check it out. Just for fun. But our podcast, real quick. Something that is a little unique about us is because I'm an avid, Mary and I are both avid, is that the word? Record collectors. Mm-hmm. We play like original pressings of attraction records that we have if we ever talk about that episode. So like I happen to have a really rare Carousel of Progress record where I've never heard the version that's on it. And then you play it and you're like, oh, that's super cool. So check us out if you want to hear some old recordings kind of from the OG era of some old attractions.
Composed your own intro song, song and everything. Yeah.
I arranged it. I took five different things from Disney songs and I stole the composition from whoever wrote.
Isn't that what all music is? Stealing That's little true. Bits and pieces from everywhere.
It's true, Gary.
Mike, do you have anything you want to say or should I wrap it up with our social media?
You can wrap it up, Billy.
All right. Well, you know where you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WDWBTG. Our website is WDWBTG.com. Subscribe at all the places we just talked about. You can go to our YouTube channel, YouTube.com. Search for WDW Beyond the Gates, where this episode will be live with our video reactions. And you can get a nice view of the Poland Spring vodka that I still not sure exists, even though I saw a picture of it.
It exists.
You can email the show info at WDWBTG.com, Mike at WDWBTG.com, and Gary at WDWBTG.com. If anyone has anything else to say, speak now, because I'm going to wrap it up.
We hope to see you soon.
Yes, definitely check out Everything is Satisfactual. But for our guests, Dan and Mary from the Everything is Satisfactual podcast, and for my co-host Mike, my name is Gary. Thank you so much for listening to episode number 341 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. And we'll talk to you all again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.